From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan Toglin is running for the Assembly, and he joins us now. Ryan, welcome to Hardline.
Thanks for having me, Joe. Really appreciate the time. I'm also riding the high of the Sabres win from Friday night.
Absolutely amazing. Who would have thought in December we'd be talking about a team that pretty much, I mean, should have had it in five, but took care of the Bruins and now on to whoever wins tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. I went to a game in December, a Leafs game, where Samuelson scored two goals, and I felt something then, but not this. So it's pretty awesome to be here.
It really is. It really is. Ryan, you've thrown your hat in the race for the 143rd Assembly District. What major, what is significant about now to make this run for the New York State Assembly?
Absolutely. So I'm born and raised in the district. I grew up in South Cheektowaga. I live in Lancaster now. And I'm someone who has advocated in my own circles, my own neighbors, my own community for issues important to me, my whole life, for lack of a better term. And I felt like as there was an opportunity to get more involved, I couldn't sit in the sidelines anymore. I'm someone who runs towards issues. I'm someone who runs towards trying to solve things and work across aisles and across communities to make folks' lives better. And, you know, I don't think I was planning on this, but the stars seem to have aligned to throw my hat in the ring, as you said, and that's where this came from. A year ago at this time, I probably wouldn't have said, yes, I'm running for a statewide office, but now that I'm here, I can't wait to talk with voters and get my name out there.
Ryan, what would you say are the particular issues facing the district right now that you don't think are being handled as well, or think they could be handled better by representation in the Assembly?
Sure, absolutely. So I think the first one is that we have a community who, families who are looking for affordability issues that need to be, can be solved and can be supported in Albany. That deals with childcare specifically. And finding ways to make childcare accessible and affordable for families who want to start families. Along with that, too, we want to find ways for families to buy homes in the district. We see an aging population in the 143rd, and there's got to be ways to ensure that folks see a pathway to stay here in Western New York and stay in the district. Alongside that as well, we know that because of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, there are going to be major changes to healthcare law and healthcare in New York State for folks who are, above the poverty line, but not at a point where they can find healthcare on the marketplace. And I want to make sure that Albany and New York State is supporting those folks and making sure that, you know, a health emergency isn't causing them to lose their job or go bankrupt. So to me, those are items that are on the precipice and coming up. And I want to be an assemblyman and a representative who is talking about those things and making sure dollars and support comes back to the district.
You look at Albany now, and they can't pass a budget on time. Many would say a $270 billion budget is way too bloated for the current state of New York. If you were in the Assembly today, what would you be advocating for when it came to this budget?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, you know, while I'm an endorsed Democrat, that doesn't mean I'm a rubber stamp on everything that's happening. And I share equal frustration that we're a month behind. So in my own personal life, I don't get that flexibility to pick and choose when budgets are done and things are paid. So, you know, I think first and foremost, I'd be, you know, talking openly with my constituents and with fellow lawmakers about the issues at hand. Second, if I was in there right now, I would be talking about items that are dealing with electrification, again, with childcare, with public education, with funding the SUNY, making sure that we're doing things for working families in the district and getting real solutions passed to help with, you know, utility bills and items that are going to actually move the needle for folks in our district and in our community to make life a little bit easier.
You mentioned childcare. Are you a supporter of universal childcare? And what does your vision look like for upstate New York if that were passed into law?
Yeah, absolutely. I am a huge proponent of universal child care. In fact, I ran for school board when I lived in West Seneca for a few years back in 2017. And when I did so, one of the items I ran on is that I was talking to families who were hoping that a lottery system for a universal pre-K program was actually made for everyone, because folks couldn't see a way to balance paying their bills and making child care work for them. So I'm an advocate for that, in the sense that the cost of child care have gone up exponentially, even then, especially since after COVID. And this is a way to make families feel more economically successful, both by having folks in the workforce and feeling confident that their kids are in a safe place while they're doing the work that they want to do. Along with that as well, this legislation like that ensures that child care workers, folks who are the backbone of making sure our kids feel safe, are paid at a wage and a rate that makes their life possible too.
In your opinion, what would that look like? I asked, I can't remember if it was Pat Burke or someone else, but I asked a current Democrat in the assembly, what would that look like for someone like me who's, my son goes to my parents' house or to my in-laws during the day, you know, switches back and forth. What would that look like for someone like me? Would I then put my kid into daycare because it was universal, or would I get a kickback from the state? How would you imagine that looking?
Sure. So, you know, again, I'm not there yet, and I'm hoping that there is opportunity to talk through in real specific ways how we do this, whether there's an income cap to it for folks who want to do that, or perhaps, you know, we give folks the freedom that they, if they don't want to do that, they have options and pathways to use it on a per diem basis. Again, there's a lot of regulation, there's a lot of nuance to this issue, but for someone like you, you may have to, or hope that someday that you're not relying always on neighbors or grandparents. And if that was the case, you may have an easy pathway to find a care provider. That
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In your neighborhood or in your community to utilize that service, but you also have the flexibility to not use it, but know that your neighbor's kids or kids you're friends with have safe, affordable child care.
You mentioned electrification, and I wanted to get to that with you. Obviously, the governor has voiced, concerns about the goals and the years with the economy. She said we need a longer runway. Do you agree with her, or do you agree with the initial setup of the electrification initiatives?
It seems as if a longer runway is needed. I can appreciate being the governor making that decision. However, at the same time, there has to be a clear way to both support and ensure the grid is ready for this transition. And while we also are thinking about diversifying our electrics, our sources of energy across the state, that includes solar, that includes wind, obviously that includes electric too, because, you know, I know this past winter, you know, when I'm using natural gas as a utility in my house, and we see gas prices right now, folks cannot be ready and cannot deal with uncertainties in terms of prices. And we need to think about ways that we both phase this in the right way, and that ratepayers are not on the hook for these changes as well.
We're going to have the mayor of Buffalo on the next hour. And as you know, he went to the state. He went to Albany asking for some help when it comes to the budget. Obviously, your district's not the city of Buffalo, but I mean, as Buffalo goes, Western New York goes. I've heard that my entire life. As a member of the assembly, would you be willing to help Buffalo if they came back next year looking for some more help with their deficit?
Sure. So the 143rd does have a sliver of Lovejoy and part of three common council districts in its district. So while it's a small proportion of the total place, this does affect constituents that I would represent. So for me, I would want to work, you know, and hear about where those funds would go, how they're going to support especially low-income individuals and low-income households to ensure that these funds are getting used to best support those individuals. And I would listen closely to see how and why that's being done on a year-to-year basis without making a broad generalization about whether I would support that or not.
2 years ago, Monica Wallace, a very popular Democrat, lost as an incumbent, very close election, to the current member, to Pat Chudlinski, who's currently in the Assembly. Do you think the voters' views have changed back to Democrat, or how do you think this election, obviously you're running, how do you think this election, and how do you expect to get some of those Monica Wallace voters from 2022 back on your side in 26?
Absolutely. So I want to be careful as to not assume that because someone has a D or an R next to their name, they're always voting party line, first of all. I think that the current assemblyman ran a strong campaign in 2024, and I'm looking to run a strong campaign here in 2026. I think the way we win those voters back, whoever they are, blanks, you know, working families, whatever line someone is on, talking about the issues that are core to them, right? Healthcare, affordability, you know, items that are kitchen table issues. And when I talk about those things, I also want to be clear that the goal is to be a representative who gets as many resources as possible back to the district. You know, you mentioned a $250 billion state budget. I want to make sure that we're spending money responsibly, but also making sure that those tax dollars are being used to help the folks in this district. And I think with a message like that, folks can get behind that. While I also share kind of my personal story of how I've lived, grown, and gotten to the point to run for office as a member of this community.
So Ryan, what does the campaign look like? You've got to, you know, juggle your full-time regular job and run for the Assembly. How's that working out?
Joe, it's not easy, but this is, I've never not been doing, I think, a dozen things at a time, for lack of a better term. So I work full-time at the University of Buffalo. I'm a dad of two daughters. My wife works as well as a teacher in the city of Buffalo. So we're juggling their activities after school. I work 9 to 5, and then early mornings, weekends, I take a day off of work here and there to do campaign events, right? I'm working to meet with community members, get out and knock on doors. I'm setting up town halls that are coming up in June and July. I've got fundraisers to do, phone calls to make, et cetera. You know, I don't have a moment at present time to really slow down, but that's how I've lived my life for the last, I'd say, 20 years, volunteering in my community, getting involved in causes I care about, helping out neighbors, you know, et cetera. So this is nothing new. We're just always reprioritizing the puzzle to make sure, you know, our family unit stays strong. I'm also out talking to and doing everything I can to win this race.
Ryan, have you and Patrick talked about a possible debate? Is that something you'd be open to?
We have not talked yet. I'd love to have a conversation with him about having debates. In fact, having multiple of them, town halls, conversations. I think the voters deserve a clean, honest race about the issues. And I'm almost certain that he believes the same thing. I'd love to have those throughout the summer and fall, inviting folks from the community to hear from us and talk about the issues.
Well, I don't know how familiar you are with this show, but I'm always looking for candidates to debate. So, we'll talk, and hopefully we can get you guys on a edition of Hardline together in studio.
Well, you do great work, Joe, bringing on everyone from, you know, all walks of life, and I appreciate what you do, and I'd love to do it, you know, one time or as many as you'll allow.
Sounds great. Hey, Ryan, really appreciate the time, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks. Have a great day. Go Sabres. Take care.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.